Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I hope you've had an amazing week since we met last time. And today I am called by the Spirit to talk to you about a topic that comes up every single day with our clients and with new potential clients. And that topic is, how do I date after divorce? So I put pen to paper and I've come up with the top 10 things to do when you're dating after divorce. And this has been inspired by the fact that I, in this month of October, am speaking to two different really big groups. One is called the National Association of Divorce Professionals, and talking to their professionals about how their clients should date after divorce. And then I'm speaking to another big singles group. So I wanted to talk to you, my audience, my dear listener, about what you should do when you're dating after divorce. And even if you haven't been divorced, I don't think you should shut off the episode here. I think you're going to find a lot of tips that are going to be useful to you when you've kind of come out of any relationship. So let's get right into it. So thing number one to do when you're dating after a divorce is really think about, have you done the work? Have you done the therapy? Have you done the coaching, right? Divorce and ending a relationship, even if it's a breakup, maybe you weren't married, but it feels like a divorce, right? And there are so many relationships that feel like divorces, whether you were legally married or not. It's incredibly painful. For most people, they say during the time that it's happening, it's the most tumultuous storm that they've ever been in. There's feelings of failure, feelings of sadness, feelings of anger, so many things that need to be processed, right? And some of us try to go at it alone. But the issue is this: when I get you at the other side of the tunnel, when you've come out of your divorce, I can tell the difference between the people that have done the work and people that haven't done the work. And you can rest assured, if I feel like you haven't done the work yet, I'm going to tell you date coaching is not for you, that you need to get yourself into therapy and you need to process what happened. What happened to you? Why did it happen? Why did it go on so long? And also, just as important, what your part in the divorce was, right? It always takes two to tango. So you might be listening to this going, oh my gosh, you don't know my ex. He or she was awful. They were avoidant. They were a narcissist. I had nothing to do with this. I was the victim. But at the end of the day, when you really start to dig in and do the work, we all bring our own stuff and our own baggage to relationships. And that stuff or that baggage certainly contributes to the good things that happen in the relationship, but also in the bad things that happen in the relationship. So number one, I want to make sure that you have done the work, whether it's therapy, whether it's a support group, whether it's coaching, that you have done something. And there are so many great therapists, great coaches, great support groups out there. So make sure that you have done your work. And you'll know it when you may never heal, right? I don't know that we heal from a lot of wounds, right? But you'll know that you'll be able to think about what happened to you, your divorce, and without the anger that bubbles over, the hostility that bubbles over, the profound sadness and grief that you once felt. If you feel like, okay, I've gone through that, I know if you push on that wound, it hurts, but I'm in a pretty good place, you're probably in a pretty good place to think about dating if you've done that work. So thing number two, tip number two on what to do when you're dating after divorce. This is really super important. Hire somebody to help you. 30, 40 years ago, there was nobody to help you. Therapy wasn't something that people really considered and wasn't widely available. I'll tell you what, coaching didn't even exist, right? Any kind of coaches, whether they're divorce coaches, dating coaches, nothing like that existed. So I'm going to make a case for you to hire someone to help you navigate what feels like being tossed into the Atlantic Ocean without a life vest on. I get so many people that have come to us and maybe they do our Love Lab workshops or they've been listening to this podcast and they're like, oh my God, like I just don't know where to go anymore. I've tried this, I've tried that. People, let me tell you this. Hire someone to help you. I'm not saying it has to be us at Smart Dating Academy. It can be whomever you think best serves you, but somebody that is really going to help you at the granular level to figure out how to date during divorce. Are you ready to do this? What are the three major pipelines that you should be looking at to get yourself out there dating and dating successfully, right? So hire someone that is a professional to help you go through this process. I get lots of referrals from therapists, lots of referrals from divorce coaches, from divorce professionals, divorce attorneys. Hire somebody that can make this process less painful because the data bears out. You can say 40 to 50% of first marriages end in divorce, but you know what? The data for second marriages, 67% of those dissolve in divorce and 74% of third marriages do. And that doesn't even include the 10 to 15% of people that permanently separate. So the state of our unions isn't very good. So thank goodness, put your big boy or big girl pants on, tighten your belt and make the investment in someone that can help you. Think about the emotional turmoil this breakup or this divorce cost you, the financial and the economic impacts of that, where you can make an investment, albeit it might be sizable, in making sure that you know how to navigate this process the right way. You would hire a coach in any other aspect of your life, right? If you wanted to learn how to golf and you wanted to become a golf pro, you wouldn't just go out and hack by yourself. You would hire a golf coach. Business leaders, CEOs at any company, at any level, all have coaches at that level, right? Professional athletes have coaches. Can you imagine an NBA or an NFL team without a coach? Heck no, right? They have people coaching them, guiding them on how to be their personal best or how to make the team its best to win and to achieve the goals. So hire someone to help you. There's no shame in that. In fact, the stigma is so far down the line. So you guys know, if you want to hire us, send us an email at smartdatingacademy.com and you know we will get back to you the same day. Now, point number three, fix your picker. Okay, fix your relationship picker. Have you noticed that your picker is broken? And how do you know if your picker is broken? Have you been in a series of bad relationships, maybe even before your marriage dissolved in divorce? Were the people before that red flaggy and you didn't pick well? Have the people post-divorce that you've dated with, dabbled with, ghosted you, been red flaggy, ultimately been narcissistic, avoidant, overtly controlling or anxious? If your picker is broken, meaning you're doing the same thing over and over again, get help around this. If your picker is broken, it's what we do every day at Smart Dating Academy. Is it easy? No. Is there a magic wand that I wave to fix your picker? No. It's about understanding why your picker is broken, in what way it's broken, what the bad things that it's leading you to do, and then how we're going to gently fix your picker to start to attract the right kinds of people that give you what you need versus what you just want? And why are our pickers broken, right? I mean, there's a lot of reasons, right? Attachment theory is something those of you who have followed my work a lot, you know, I'm an enormous believer. And, you know, we've become quite the experts now at attachment theory and how that plays out. And pickers can be broken because you didn't get the love that you needed when you were a kid or a teenager from your parents or your guardians or your parent or whomever was taking care of you. Now, does that mean that they were bad, horrible, abusive people? Absolutely not. It just means you, as young you, did not perceive that your needs were going to be met adequately by the people that you were trusting to get your needs met. So you can have attachment systems that aren't functional, that cause you to constantly gravitate towards anxious or avoidant or anxious avoidant partners, right? Now, your picker could be broken even if you grew up in a lovely home where you had two great parents that wanted nothing more for you. And you're like, oh my God, I won the family lottery. It's amazing. You could be that secure person who's constantly in relationships with people that don't work for you simply because maybe you've had early dating relationships where it kind of set the imprint in for you looking for bad boys or bad girls, whatever it is, someone with a little edge, someone that keeps you on your toes, right? Those kinds of things don't always serve us well in the dating world. So really think about yourself. And if your picker is broken, and good Lord, social media and the media, they don't make our pickers any better, right? We watch Hollywood films thinking we're going to meet eyes across the produce aisle with someone and, you know, sail off to relationship happiness 2 weeks later. That's just nonsense, right? None of that works. That's why it's fun. Bubblegum for the brain to watch. The rom-coms are on the screen because they're not realistic. That's not how real life happens. And remember, we're also evolutionary programmed to search and preference certain traits. For women, it's height. For men, it's age, maybe our body shape. There's so much to this that enables us and causes us to pick people that aren't good for us. So rule number three, or tip number three when you're dating after divorce, is fix your picker. And again, that goes back to rule number two. If your picker is broken, enlist the experts to help you. Please, I beseech you to do that. Don't think you need to do this on your own. You really, really don't, especially if you think your picker is broken. Do something to fix it, because it doesn't magically fix itself. Because even if I put the most perfect person in front of you, if you had a broken picker, you would think, ugh, I'm not attracted to this person. Ugh, this person is boring. Ugh, I'm not feeling any chemistry. So if this sounds like you, you might just have a broken picker. Now, thing number four that I want you to do is get psychotically optimistic about your future, right? You've just come through the dark tunnel of divorce, and hopefully that storm cloud is lifted and the sun is shining and you're feeling so good about your life, and you have grown to love your life as it is now. Okay. When people say fall in love with yourself, I think what they actually mean is fall in love with your new life. Enjoy you. Get to know you. Enjoy spending time with you. Get to know new people. Get to make new friends, right? So much of the drama of divorce causes so many of our friends to abandon us. You know who your real friends are once you go through a divorce, right? So I want you to get psychotically optimistic about your future, because when you're doing the right things, when you get your picker fixed, when you have somebody alongside with you, you will become psychotically optimistic. And I want you to keep the mantra. Remember, for those of you who don't know what psychotic optimism is, it means you believe that love will come to you, whether it feels like the Sahara Desert and dry right now, or you just feel down and out and you feel like nothing's going to happen. I want you to tell yourself, love is out there for me. It's a when. It's not an if. I'm going to have to do some things differently, and I'm going to have to push myself out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to have to make some changes in the things that I'm doing. But I know in my heart of hearts that love exists for me. It's a when, it's not an if. And if you truly believe that, you'll start to vibrate at a different level. And once you're vibrating at that level, you'll start to let good people in. You'll start to date better. You'll start to have better fun and better luck through this process as well. Now, tip number five. Okay, now your mindset's in the right place. Let's say your picker is fixed. You've done the work. You're feeling psychotically optimistic about your dating future. Number five, I want you to get online the right way. Okay, you need to take this seriously. Most people come to us with profiles where I was like, oh, are you kidding me? Men and women. Okay, people pick. What you do is you don't take this seriously. I want you to take this as seriously as you would selling your home. Okay. I want you to take this as seriously as you would job search. You would invest in that. You would get a new suit. If you were job searching, you would hire a professional to write your resume. You would practice interviewing with someone you trusted. You would do all of these things because you're like, wow, it's really important that I position myself the right way for job search. Or if you're looking to sell your home, right? That could be a $50,000 home. It could be a $5 million home, but whatever it is, you want to make sure that you're maximizing top dollar. Are you going to take some old cell phone photos of your kitchen and your bedroom from your iPhone with all your clutter and crap laying around when it's not well lit? Heck no. You're going to have your realtor give you advice and they're going to help you stage your house and you're going to hire a professional photographer to take photos. Now, I wish people would put half the effort into themselves in the dating process as they do into job search, as they do into selling their homes, right? You would reap so many benefits if you do. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to have great photos as part of this process. You need to have six amazing photos of you. And that doesn't mean the six best photos you have in your phone. And if you're laughing right now, you're just like everybody else that comes to us. We pick the best of what we have, right? It's like thinking you're going to cook a gourmet meal and picking like the six things that are sitting molding in your refrigerator. Potentially, they're not that great. They're half eaten, but you're going to prepare a gourmet meal out of that. Absolutely not. You would have a plan. You would have a recipe. You would know it in advance. You would go to the grocery store. You would buy the freshest, best ingredients, right? You would know, maybe you would even practice making it before you would entertain a group with that meal. So here, I want you to think about having that preparation, having great photos. If you don't know what great photos look like, go to smartdatingacademy.com. Look at our photos and profiles page. Look at our inspiring stories pages. There are so many amazing photos on there. And I'll let you know, we're putting that stuff out there for every client. That's your competition, the people that I'm putting online. I'll tell you what, you don't want to compete with my clients, right? We've got the best photos. So you want to dress to impress, have great headshots, have great body shots, and take this seriously. Do not just use the phone, the pictures that you have in your phone. And all the data shows that we don't pick the right photos of ourselves. Get rid of the photos with your kids. Get rid of the photos with your ex that look like a crime scene. Get some new photos and have somebody besides you pick the best photos of you. We have an online dating love lab called the Online Dating Love Lab, and where we pick our clients' best photos. And then we really teach people how to position themselves, how to have the best photos, how to pose, what kind of lighting, all of the things. So there's a lot of great information out there. If you don't feel like cobbling it together and figuring out on your own, again, hire someone that can help you to do that. And then spend some time writing some great text on your profile, okay? Something that sounds positive, something that sounds specific, something that's about you. Leave all of the negative, ambiguous verbiage out of there. One of my pet peeves is when people say they're not looking for any drama. You know what? The person that says they're not looking for drama is the person that's going to cause you drama, okay? But I digress. Have a great profile. And again, if you need someone to take a look at your profile, take a look at your profile text, hire someone to help you get your profile into my cute little hands. And I will help you with all of this to make sure that you're putting your best foot forward. And if you're thinking right now, especially ladies, do men really read profiles? The kinds of guys that you want to date are going to read your profiles. Okay. So you want to make sure that you're putting the best gems about you out there. Okay. Now, point number six, tip number six, Have a dating strategy. You can't just go out there and throw some spaghetti at the wall on this. I want you to think about this again as seriously as you would date search, as partner search, looking for a new job, partner search. Job search is what I meant to say. Thinking about how you would sell your house. You need to have goals. You need to have a plan. Okay. So now that you're going to have, hopefully, and I've talked you into getting amazing photos that look like you. Okay. I'm not saying the souped up, glammed up, filtered up version of you, because guess what, y'all? You got to show up to the date and you got to look like those photos. So don't be over filtering and over photoshopping that stuff, because it will bite you in the you know where. Okay. So now you're going to have a dating strategy. Okay. I want you to think about creating a dating funnel. And creating a dating funnel means you're going to pedal that bike, you're going to send out lots of proactive messages, and you're going to spend 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening. I want 30 minutes a day, just like you would to work out, just like you would to do anything important in your life. You have to put some scheduled time into this process, okay? And again, if you're coming out of divorce and you're a single parent, use video to be efficient. Don't just message someone and go straight to meeting someone where you have to hire a sitter, right? Do a video date, 15 to 30 minutes. All the apps have them built in now. It really avoids a lot of disappointing dates. And remember, what do I always say to you guys? Crazy cannot hide for more than 10 freaking minutes. So if you do a video date and if somebody's truly cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, it's going to come out during the video date, okay? And then as part of your dating strategy, only go on 2 dates a week, okay? Now, with our clients, I know you're smiling and I know you know what this dating funnel looks like, what this scheduling looks like, and how to navigate all of this. I only want you to go on at maximum 2 in-person dates a week, because I want you to stay psychotically optimistic. I don't want you to have dating fatigue about your dating life. I want you to have the energy to do this. I want you to fill up your cup. I want you to be with your elevator people, the people that elevate you and they bring out the best version of you. I want you to exercise, because exercise builds beta endorphins and good, happy hormones, and it makes you healthy and fit, right? I want you to eat well. I want you to sleep well. I want you to do all of those things that are going to keep your dating cup full. So only go on 2 dates a week at max. Okay. Now, point number 7, I want you to remember, get your pen out, take a note on your phone right now. Take things slowly, keep them slow. Okay. People, especially coming out of divorce, you know what we want to do? Sometimes we want a revenge date because our ex is already with somebody. Sometimes we just want to fill those voids with that new boo, that new person. And we want to get out there and we don't want to date because we just want to be snuggled up in a happy relationship today. But remember those divorce statistics, okay? That's what happens when we take things too quickly. Okay. I want you, and especially if you've been in an abusive and empty, a loveless relationship, your love cup is probably empty, and you're ripe for a love bomber to come along and fill up your cup and tell you all the things and sweep you off your feet and all the things you've been craving. You've been wanting to hear the gifts, the words. And I'm telling you, when you speed things up too fast, you're really, really, really susceptible to all of that. You're susceptible to being oxytocin bonded because you've slept with this person too quickly. You're susceptible to missing red flags because now you're chemically bonded to this person and you've only got one option. And if your brain and if your picker's broken, you want to sweep all those red flags under the rug and just put a round peg through a square hole and make sure this is the one, because you just don't want to be in the dating pool again. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep things slowly. You know, if you have listened to this podcast long enough, and if you haven't, go back and listen to the Sylvia Foti, the Nazi's granddaughter episodes called the 15 date rule. We want 15 dates with the person over 3 to 4 months, super slow. Get to know people, date them old school. Okay. Keep things slow in the dating process. There is no substitute for one thing, and that's time. You cannot take things too slowly. It should be ramping up at a nice pace, but not ramping up in 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. I hear other coaches and matchmakers talking about a 10 date rule over, you know, and you can go on as many dates as you want and all of those things. I'm telling you, keep things slow, you will thank me later. Okay. You will miss red flags if you keep things up. Every one of my clients that has come out of divorce said, yeah, I jumped into things too quickly and I missed a lot of red flags. Okay. Now, point number eight, and this is kind of a funny point, don't go over to anybody's house prematurely. When we want to speed things up in the dating world, we want to gather so much data and we want to see this person. Maybe, you know, this person has said, oh my gosh, it's date four. I want to cook you dinner. Nobody's taking care of you. Let me do that, right? You go to this person's house, right? There's a bottle of wine. There's Frank Sinatra playing in the background. You know how that story can end. Oh my gosh, I just slept with this person and I didn't mean to do that, right? Or so when you let somebody cook you dinner, they probably have good intentions, but things can go too far too fast. If that sounds like you, keep yourself out of those situations 100%. And also, don't go over to somebody's house prematurely. I've had that many people tell me, well, I just went over to his house for a couple of minutes, but ugh, his house was a disaster. Or, you know, oh my gosh, I looked inside his refrigerator and there were all these leftovers and they looked like they could walk out of the fridge. They were too old. Guys, that is information that is known too soon. And that is easily fixable stuff. You cannot fix character. And character doesn't mean, do you have fresh food in your refrigerator? And does your house need a little bit of fix up? Okay. I don't want you to go to somebody's house prematurely. And I don't want you to have somebody at your house prematurely either, because they're going to judge you. And I don't want them to judge you on, oh my God, your house is way too amazing. I can't keep up with you. Or, ew, your house isn't that great either. I don't want you getting judged for anything. I am hashtag team you, dear listener, dear smart dater. So just trust me, don't go over to anybody's house prematurely. Okay. You'll thank me later. Now, along with that, rule number nine, get physical if and only if you want to. You might even pass 15 dates and you might not be ready to, you know, do the big bang with somebody. You do you, okay? You pick a person that's willing to accommodate you. There is no such thing as a three-date rule, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let your friends that have no idea what the hell they're talking about make you nervous. Oh, everybody's having sex out there. Oh my God, if you don't put out, you're going to lose all the good ones. That's all absolute BS and nonsense. You take the physical aspect only at the pace you want to go at. Okay. And remember, if you haven't listened to the safe sex episode that I did with Dr. Lauren Stryker a couple of episodes ago, please listen to that before you decide that you're going to do the three-date rule and jump into the sack with somebody. Okay. There's no pressure to do anything. And a good partner for you will respect you and your boundaries. And if somebody is making you feel badly because you're not going fast enough, guess what? They might not be the right person for you. And that might be a red flag that you're missing right now. Okay. And finally, rule tip number 10, only take advice from people who can guide you correctly. This might resonate with you. So many people think they can take advice from their married friends. So many people think they can take advice from their best friends. So many people think they can take advice from their single friends. I'm going to tell you this. If you broke your leg, would you ask your neighbor who is an electrician how to fix your leg? No, you would go to an orthopedic surgeon. Conversely, if your electricity went out, you wouldn't ask your orthopedic surgeon to come over and fix your breaker, right? You would call an electrician. In this realm, please, please, please stop listening to the people in your life that are coming from a good place. They come from a place of love. They want the best for you, but they also might be telling you what you want to hear. Or they might be telling you anecdotal things from their own experience, which don't make them true. That's just their experience. Only take advice from people that have your best interests at heart and are professionals and can guide you correctly. Like I said, your friends, your family, don't get me wrong. I'm throwing no shade. They mean well, but they don't know how to do this. They don't know how to navigate the dating world in today's day and age. This rule 10 goes back to rule number two, hire someone to help you to do this. You don't have to do this alone. And what I want you to know is that if you are dating after divorce, right, you too can be a love story. Go back and listen to some of the episodes like Andrea Javer, who found love after divorce, Sylvia Foti, who found love after divorce, Sugar found love after divorce, Marilyn found love after two divorces. I promise you, getting the help that you need from whomever it is that you trust will help you through this process. And I hope that you are inspired and you're feeling a little bit psychotically optimistic because you've gotten some good nuggets and you know that love exists for you out there. It's a when, it's not an if. And I've given you 10 rules to make sure that you don't end up in that second or third or fourth divorce statistic. So if this resonates with you, please share this episode everywhere you can on your social media. Rate our podcast. Give us 5 stars. Tell us what you loved about this. We're always here to help you. Sign up for a consultation. Go to smartdatingacademy.com. If you need the help, if you've been listening for a while and you're finally like, God, I need to take this step and I need to do this for me. And I want to be like all these other people out there that find healthy, happy love. Maybe your picker needs fixing. That is our superpower. Reach out, schedule a session. Nothing would make me happier than being your personal fairy godmother in dating and love. So until next week, I bid you farewell and I wish you a week full of love, full of psychotic optimism, and full of great dates. See you soon. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.